we're talking about Head On Photo Festival, which opens this May, which is a huge festival showing the work of 943 artists in 101 exhibitions. So it is safe to say that there's definitely something for everyone there. But right now I'm talking about one of those exhibitions in particular, titled Greatest Hits Grunge, which is from famous photographer Chris Cuffrow, who helped define music in music history, I would say. And his work may not be familiar to you if you're not involved in music photography, but he's photographed the likes of George Harrison, Kurt Cobain, Gwen Stefani, to name a few. And I'm joined by Chris this morning to tell me a little bit more about his grunge series. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So I want to get started at the very beginning, if that's right. Okay with you. How did you get into photography? You've photographed some very famous musicians and been published in some very famous magazines. Where did it all start?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'll give you the short version of a long story. So I started when I was 10 years old. Picked up a camera first time, shot a roll of film, and then was obsessed with it from that point on. And by the time I was 12 years old, I had clients and business cards and was running around telling everybody I was going to be a photographer forever and never looked back. And by the time I was 12, 13 years old, I started shooting for like modeling schools. By the time I was 16, I started shooting concerts. Growing up, I wanted to be a fashion photographer. I wanted to be Richard Avedon, who was my favorite photographer at the time. So it was just, I started it 10. I tell people all the time. And so was obsessed, still am to this day. And I love it more today than when I started it.
And when did your desire to work in fashion transform into music?
That was when I moved to Los Angeles. I grew up in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And I moved to LA when I was 20. And I had this first week I was there, my boss said to me simply, he goes, I told him I was moving here to be a fashion photographer. He says, you're in the wrong town. You know nothing about fashion. And I was like, yeah, but I know models. And so he was like, no, that's not going to work. So I realized I was in the entertainment capital and it's not the fashion cap. Still isn't the fashion cap. You got to be in New York. So I was told and I agreed I better figure out something. And then I fell into the whole music thing a couple years later just by accident.
And speaking about music, your exhibition is all about the grunge scene in the 90s. For people who don't really know, maybe weren't alive, what might that look like? What does that entail?
Well, I'll back up a little bit. To start off, I'll say, so Greatest Hits Grunge is a small segment of what I've been working on for the last 8 years. I'm working on a massive project called Greatest Hits, and it's a series of exhibitions around the world. And we've done everything from Greatest Hits, No Doubt, I just did in LA, Greatest Hits George Michael was here in Sydney last year. Now we're doing Greatest Hits Grunge now. So basically what it is, I was around the grunge world for a good 2-3 years. I always tell people I'm not the grunge expert. I don't claim to be. I wasn't the grunge photographer. There's a couple other guys that would get that title. I was just an outsider who kind of got welcomed in. And then I took my time and got to know everybody and shoot and create. And so this exhibition represents those 2-3 years there for me of being in Seattle, you know, touring with Pearl Jam or hanging out with Nirvana or shooting Alice in Chains. And I directed my first music video in 1991 with Pearl Jam. So that was a big move for me as well at the time.
What was it like working across such a wide variety of genres? How did those experiences differ?
Well, it starts out, basically, I always tell people, I love music. Next to photography, music's my passion. Growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area in the 60s and 70s, you can imagine.
Okay.
I had a brother who went to Monterey Pop. I had, you know, a sister who, you know, worshipped, you know, the California sound of the Eagles and this. So we grew up with a lot of music. So I always tell people, I'm just basically a frustrated musician who doesn't know how to play a thing. So I always take pride in the fact that I'm not the photographer who shot just rock and roll or just grunge or just jazz or just this. I covered it all. And I'm most proud of that more than anything of my body of work is that I covered them all and I enjoyed them all. I always tell people ask me, what's your favorite kind of music? I'm always like, all of it. So
do you find photographically speaking that you approach different genres with different styles at all?
No, not really. If you look at all my work, and that could take a while, the theme that runs through it all, and it's like music, is keeping it simple. I let the subject be the subject. I kind of tell, I mentor some young photographers, and I tell them all the time is to keep it simple. Don't try to too hard, and just make sure that you let the person be the person. So if the person's boring, then they're going to get boring pictures. But if the person's interesting, you get interesting pictures.
So in the grunge series, who was interesting for you as a muse?
Well, There's so many stories. I've been blessed. As I tell people, I have a million stories in the photos to prove it. Unlike everybody else, I can tell you about the first time I shot Nirvana.
Can you tell us about that?
Okay. So it's going to be at the show. My first shoot with Nirvana. I went to Seattle to shoot Queensryche. Do you know what Queensryche is at all? They were like a metal bandish. In March of 91, I go there to shoot. I had called the manager of Nirvana and said, hey, I got an extra day off. Can I shoot the band? And he said, yes, you can, because they have a new drummer. I said, awesome. And so that happened to be Dave Grohl. So it was the first shoot with Dave and the band. And they showed up to the shoot. We met at a diner. They were so poor. They had nothing. And they showed up in a beat-up van, and they had partied all night the night before. And we ended up hanging out. And I did the shoot, and they were so poor. I bought them food, and then I bought them food to leave. I bought, like, to-go bags. You know, like, please. I felt bad. And then Dave... They were just, back in those days, everybody was poor. Like they were, I'm talking poor. And so I bought Dave a hundred pairs of drumsticks because he didn't have any drumsticks.
Wow.
So I was like, you know, because I had a friend in the drum business. So I said, here, send him some drumsticks. So, and then it was just a great, simple day of a lot of fun. And then I, you know, shot him a couple times after that and hung out with him a bunch and got to know him. So it was a lot of fun.
So was most of the grunge happening up in Seattle?
Yeah, well, that's what it's known for. But there are which is in this exhibition, there's the outside bands, like a band called The Fluid that was from Denver, that was on Sub Pop Records. There was a band called The Afghan Whigs, but they were from Cincinnati, but they were on Sub Pop Records. A band called L7 that was from L.A., but they were on Sub Pop Records. They were all part of the fringe of the grunge kind of thing. And what is grunge is the big question, because some people don't think Pearl Jam is grunge. Some people don't think Soundgarden is grunge, and it's not Alice in Chains, but it's kind of, they're put in that whole Seattle, that genre, that time. Grunge is like an attitude to me more than anything.
Totally.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Do you have any particular, my producer, Amelia, would like to know if you have any Kurt Cobain stories in particular?
My favorite Kurt Cobain story, and I've told this too many times to count, but it's my favorite because, so from that first shoot when they had nothing, months later in December, I think I see him in December. I keep track of everything so I could look at my records and tell you exactly when I saw him. But it was funny. It was like, you know, after Nevermind was out, they've sold 10 million records. So I see him again and he says to me, we're sitting there just talking about stuff, and he just says to me, you know, Chris, it's really weird that, you know, now when I go to my ATM machine, I pull out, you know, $20, the balance says $50,000. I'm like, I have no idea what that's like, Kurt. I hope to find out someday. I just said it was the weirdest thing.
What you a know, drastic contrast
exactly.
from your first
Well, I always tell everybody, in 1991, this is not a lie, and I can show you the list. Beginning in 1991 to the end of 1991, I had more friends become millionaires than I will ever have in my lifetime. In 1 year, because it was Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, Nirvana. Just those four bands alone, tack on Screaming Trees and a bunch of other. But these people all became millionaires. In 1 minute, they had nothing. And the next minute, they were buying houses with cash, in a sense, you know. So it was a crazy time. And you know, in the beginning, they had like the worst clothes in the world. By the end of the tours, they were all like nice.
Icons.
Yeah, like new clothes. So it was kind of, it was a strange year to watch everybody.
Yeah, it must have been an interesting experience. And we were just discussing the grunge scene and a whole bunch of other things. But I wanted to ask, now you work as a director, and you mentioned your first music video was with Pearl Jam, which is actually a while ago. But what is it like combining your love for both music and photography in this way? How does that compare to shooting bands?
Well, I directed a handful of music videos back in the 90s, like Screaming Trees, a couple Puddle of Mud, a couple other people here and there. And I always enjoyed it. The one thing I liked about being a director, honestly, was just the teamwork, the having a group of people kind of pulling in the same direction and like trying to make something happen and working with a band. I love to collaborate with creative people in anything I do. But I love directing. I just started it up again. I just directed a music video a month and a half ago for an amazing new artist from Seattle, a girl named Bexley, who's brilliant. She's like next generation grunge. And so it was fun working with her. I'm hopefully going to do another one when I get back. So I love directing.
So having worked in music photography for 50 years?
Don't make me that old.
40, 30.
40, let's say
like
40.
What changes have you observed over that time? I'm sure, you know, obviously film.
Well, film, yes.
Yeah, that's the main one.
I say to people all the time that, you know, when I started taking pictures, a roll of film was 65 cents.
Wow.
Now there is no
like
film.
$20 for a roll of film.
I know. A lot has changed more. I think a lot has changed more in the music industry than actually the photography industry. The music industry, you know, it's all about streamings and likes. And, you know, back in the day, there was all about record sales and touring. And it's different now. The whole business model is upside down. And when I still have friends in the industry and I still do stuff. So it's just interesting. The conversations have changed when we're like, you know, a friend of mine who's a manager said it best. He goes, you know, 20 years ago, it was important to have that key image that was your, for that record comes out, you have that key art image that kind of is the whole tour, the whole thing, right? Not anymore. Now it's like you just have to put lots of pictures up on Instagram constantly and throw pictures up. It doesn't matter.
So how does that change the role of a music photographer?
I don't shoot as much music as I used to, first of all. And now I only shoot for free. I'll shoot any band for free that needs pictures. If you're out there, just find me. No, seriously.
Tell some friends.
No, seriously, I do. I love shooting new talent. It's my favorite thing to do. And I don't ask for money. I'd rather help them, give them some advice. I'm meeting a singer today that I'm helping. So I like
to. Who is that? From Zinni?
Yes. I won't say. I just like helping everybody. But I just tell them all. It's like the biggest advice I give them is the advice I gave 20, 30 years ago is have fun. It's a difficult business. You're not in the music business. You're not in the photography business. You're in the business of music and the business of photography. So many photographers that are better than I was aren't around anymore because they couldn't handle the business. The same thing with musicians. You got to handle your business. Got to.
So on that note, what advice would you have for an aspiring photographer?
Practice. Never stop shooting. Push yourself. Challenge yourself. Don't limit yourself to one little genre. I've shot it all. I always tell people I've got still lives. I got everything. I've shot everything at some point in my life. And so to me, it's constantly, constantly pushing myself. And I never settle. I always tell people, we could take some pictures right now, be the greatest pictures ever. I'll wake up the next morning going, those suck. I can do better. It's just never settling. It's been my thing my whole life. Drives my friends crazy.
And back to the very beginning, the exhibition, Greatest Hits Grunge. What do you want people to take away from viewing that series of photographs?
Well, I hope they see what I tell people is that I had a lot of fun. And you're going to see some really good stuff. There's this one wall that I really want people to see. It's this kind of, I'm telling my grunge story, and it's this wall with all these just snapshots of friends and the fun stuff and the famous locations like Rock Candy and Off Ramp, these clubs where you saw the best shows. So it's a lot, and it's a lot of just like really some of my favorite pictures. And then also I threw in some pictures that have never seen the light of day. So it's a good mixture. And Blender Gallery is the best music gallery around. So to me, it helps makes me look good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to check it all out.
Okay. Please, everybody.
So I've just been speaking with legendary photographer Chris Cuffer ahead of his appearance at Head On Photo Festival, presenting his photographs in the Greatest Hits Grunge. The exhibition opens on the 2nd of May and is running until the 1st of June, so you can check it out at Blender Gallery, the greatest music gallery in Sydney, which is over in Paddington. And if you missed any of that information or want to have a listen to the chat, we'll upload it all on our website. Just look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website. Right now I'm going to play the latest track